Welcome to Corrittles. This week, asking your manager for help, chapter one, when? Part one. The questions this cast answers are, when should I ask my manager for help? When is too soon to ask for help? And who else can I ask for help? Are you looking for a way to differentiate yourself from your peers? The most compelling piece of advice I heard in the past year came from Maggie Tucker, and it wasn't about careers at all. It was to be debt-free. She explained how that affects your career and more at last year's M conference. And fortunately for you, you can watch it on video as part of our Executive Outlook video series. During this summer, while everyone else is kicking back, you can find out how this essential advice will make the difference between you and your peers. Find out Maggie's secrets at manager-tools.com. Look for Executive Outlook videos in the drop-down menu. When you first go to work, it can be really difficult to know when you're supposed to ask for help. To some extent, you think, oh, they employed me because they think I can do this thing and I'm supposed to do it all on my own because that's what you're supposed to do when you go to work. Asking too early makes it seem like, oh, well, maybe I'm supposed to know all this stuff and they're paying me to do this and I'm supposed to know how to do it. But then asking too late means that the whole team or the whole company or the customer suffers. And then later in your career, as you get older, you realize that asking for help sooner rather than later, asking questions sooner rather than later is probably a good thing. So to help you make the decision before you get the kind of gut feel for when that point is, we've created some guidance to give you a framework. So this week I'm joined by Amanda, so someone new on the podcast. So Amanda, what's our outline?
For this one, we have a really simple outline. It's don't ask for help until you've done these things and what you need to do before you ask for help.
Yeah. So there's a bunch of things that you need to have done before you ask for help. Like you have to have at least tried some things before you ask for help. Otherwise, your manager's going to go and say, look, you have to try some things on your own, right? And we're going to talk about those things first. So don't ask for help until you've done these things. And the first one is identify the problem. Because until you can describe the problem accurately, it's really hard for people to help you. And this seems really obvious, but we go into all sorts of situations expecting people to help us without giving them the information that they need. If you think about going to the doctor's office, you go to the doctor's office and you say, I've got stomach pains. And then the doctor says, where are these pains? And what kind of pain is it? And is it continuous or only certain times of day? And then he pokes you and he says, does this hurt? You go, yes, that does hurt. And is it only after you eat? And is it only if it's certain foods? And you sit there and you think about, like, what did I have for lunch yesterday and did it hurt afterwards? And you can never remember because they expect you to remember what you ate for breakfast and I can never remember. And in medicine, this is known as differential diagnosis, but they have to know all these things because they can't know what's wrong with you until you've told them what the problem is. And I have stomach pains is not sufficient to know what the problem is.
And it's amazing at the doctor when you forget all the things that would lead to a helpful diagnosis when they start asking all these questions. If you don't feel prepared, to have to prepare for a doctor's appointment, it's always been really interesting. So the differential diagnosis, this is the process with how doctors narrow down what the actual diagnosis is compared to what you're telling them, essentially, and coming down with the exact details or what's really causing your stomach pain. It's very similar to what a mechanic would do. When you bring in a car for car problems, you can't just say my car is knocking because it probably is, but they're going to need more information about when is this noise happening? Is it acceleration, deacceleration? So you have to have more information to give anyone that's going to help you with a problem. And this is the same for our tech teams. In IT, they love to get all that information beforehand because so many things can be causing that problem that they need more details. And this is going to be the same thing when asking for help. You want to have as much detail before you go in to ask for help to really get down to the basics of the problem.
Yeah. And your doctor doesn't expect you to have the medical knowledge to know what your stomach pains are, right? There is a reason that they are a specialist. But you will probably find that your appointments are more efficient if you go in thinking, having thought a little bit about the kind of questions that they might ask. If you go in like me and you're completely vague about what you had for breakfast, then it's going to take longer for the doctor to work out what's wrong with you. Whereas if you have thought a little bit about, okay, I'm having stomach pains, what's he going to ask? And you thought on the way there about what meals you've had and if it hurt before or after, then having narrowed down that problem, having kind of found the edges of the problem, it makes it easier to help that person, to help you solve the problem.
And this is going to be the same thing that when you're having a problem at work, you're going to have to ask your manager for help, and it's going to be much more efficient and make your manager feel a lot better about helping you if you've thought about some of those edges first. Sometimes when you're trying to describe the problem, you can find the solution yourself. In fact, that makes you a solution finder. In our conferences for our manager training, that's one of my favorite things, is be a solution finder, right? Don't just follow along. So find that solution yourself. And if you have the details, you might be able to do it before you have to ask for help. You might have experienced a problem with your computer, and then you've called the help desk, and just describing what's going on or what's going wrong with your computer, it suddenly fixes itself. Have you tried to turn it on and off? That's normally the fix, right? Yeah. That's what they love to tell us at the help desk. Did you turn it off and then turn it back on?
I had that when I phoned the bank last week. I couldn't do something. I don't know what it was. I couldn't do something. And I phoned the bank, and you wait for like 10 minutes on hold. And then I start to describe the problem, and then all of a sudden it resolves itself. And the guy's like, oh yeah, I'm that good. I'm like, you're not that good. But I don't know why it fixed itself. It just did.
It's a magical phone call. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And they say it too. So when describing the problem, you want to go through it logically, step by step, and maybe find the answer yourself before you have to ask for help.
Sometimes it does. And sometimes you do need the doctor or the mechanic or the accountant or whatever, the man from the bank. Sometimes you don't have all the knowledge you need to solve the problem. So don't let needing to go through this process stop you from asking a manager for help. You're not supposed to know everything, especially in the beginning of your career. Asking for help is not a weakness. It doesn't mean that you weren't supposed to have this job. It doesn't mean that they hired the wrong person or you're not qualified. It just means you don't have all of the knowledge yet. And that's absolutely fine. But what we're saying is go through this process so that you don't make it hard for someone else to help you. Having clearly thought through the problem, having a logical approach to being able to describe it, helps someone help you. And that's why you do this process first.
There's one more thing this helps with. It helps you make sure that you're asking the right person for help. And that can be a really big factor. Just asking anybody for help might not be very efficient or effective. You have to work through this process so you know who to ask for help. So that might be at a help desk or regarding some documentation. Who is the expert in that code that you need help with? And someone else in the company might have better knowledge or a better solution than just your manager. We're not saying don't ask your manager for help. Just ask yourself if there's anyone else that you might want to check with first.
Like Google or now ChatGPT.
Yes.
There's nothing more frustrating than being the person in the company who people think knows everything. And you're like, did you Google that? There used to be, when Google was new, probably nobody who listens to this is old enough to remember this. There used to be a little GIF that you could send people and it was a mouse going up to the address bar on a browser and it went to Google and it was, did you Google that? Because it was so frustrating when people could have Googled the answer and they didn't. Google sometimes does have the answer, so.
You just gave away all my trade secrets.
Right, that you can.
I like to know the answer because I Googled it.
Yeah.
And I feel so smart.
Yeah. So just make sure that you have tried the easy things first, right? To all our government managers and leaders, don't be caught off guard. It is July, and typically your fiscal year ends in about 3 months. That translates into, if you are considering getting your managers or professionals trained in this fiscal year, you want to start the process now. Our August and September tend to fill up quickly. Don't wait and lose out. We're here to support you. Contact Maggie, maggie@manager-tools.com, to discuss our availability and to review our many in-person and virtual training options. The next thing is attempting to solve it yourself, which we've kind of covered, but there's more to that than what we've just said. So when the problem is clearly in the scope of your job, then attempt to solve it yourself. So if you're working, say, on a customer service help desk and a customer calls in with a problem, with a charge, say, with a charge on their account, and it's within the parameters that you're given to work with, that you have operating procedures or instructions for, then work through those instructions before you escalate the issue to your supervisor or your manager. That's kind of obvious, right? If you have a set of instructions that say, if there's an issue with a charge that's between $50 and $500, then do this, this, and this, then do this, this, and this. Even if the customer's angry, if the customer's, you know, screaming at you, as long as the instructions say, you know, until they say these curse words, then you should carry on with these instructions. That's what you should do. Apparently, that's within your job scope. So keep going.
Yeah, and I do love a good flow chart that just tells me step by step of how to deal with a process. And, you know, there's always people in the company or people on your team that they have all the answers. They're known for having all the answers. Your go-to person. Wendy, for me, that's you. I feel like you've helped me with so many things. That doesn't mean that they should be used by everyone as the knowledge base, even though I use Wendy for that, because it can be tiring and frustrating and a waste of their time, especially if there might be those processes that you don't know about that are drawn out, that are laid out. There's probably a person in your company that likes to write down all those processes for themselves. They maybe not have shared it, but they have it maybe on a Dropbox or something that if you ask, they would share it with you. And since you're being paid to do your job, a job, you don't want to force them to have to help you out all the time just because they're that person, the go-to. So if you don't attempt to solve your own problems yourself, you'll soon find yourself with all the negatives on your performance review, right? If you're always looking for someone else to help you solve your problems, that comes into a negative. You can't always be asking for help. So solving or taking those steps to solve it first is, one, going to be a positive for your review.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is assessed the severity of the issue. We just said if the customer service issue is between $100 and $500 and that's what the instructions say, if the issue falls outside of those parameters, then going to someone for help immediately is the right thing to do. If the customer is complaining about something that's $5,000, then clearly that's a much bigger sum and that falls outside of the things that you can deal with. The more people that an issue affects and the more money that's involved, the sooner you need to ask for help.
And that's a difficult concept, especially for our more junior level people, because you might not know the extent or how many people are being impacted or be able to even accurately judge the severity of every single issue as they pop up. So that means you're going to have to ask for help or at least start to raise that flag, right? Start to make that acknowledgement that someone needs to step in. And this is going to happen more times earlier in your career because you just don't have that knowledge base or that experience that comes with years on the job. So you might be tempted to wait for that regular meeting, that more touch base point. However, early in your career, even if you suspect that it could be out of your scope or could have more significant issues, it's better to ask for help early on.
And often when people are new to a job, the people who know the answers or have been around for a long time are entirely unbothered by getting things that are not a big deal. When people start here and we get customer service questions, often they'll say, I don't mean to bother you, but like, I didn't know if this was a big deal or not. And a lot of the time, it's not a big deal. And it takes me 15 seconds to decide it's not a big deal and a minute to deal with it. And so it's not a big deal, but I'd rather somebody took a minute and 15 seconds of my time than spent, you know, an hour of their time worrying about whether or not this thing was a big deal. It's much easier to deal with something ahead of time at the beginning when it isn't a big deal than when something's been attempted. Sometimes people try and fix it and they fix it the wrong way, and then you've got to go back and unfix it and then refix it. Sometimes that causes more problems. So even if you say, hey, I've got this thing and I think the answer is this, this, and this, am I right? That's a good way to go, because you are making the effort to try and find a solution. You're showing that you found the problem, you've thought about a solution, and you're just checking. And if you're wrong, you give the person a chance to say, no, don't do that, because that's going to go really, really wrong. And if you're right, you get some brownie points for being right. And it gives you some confidence in your decision-making ability, as well as it gives the person who you're asking some confidence in your decision-making ability. And that is how you grow into a role.
Yeah. And I feel like that's also the best way to learn through experience. If you have to think through a process before just having someone tell you the answer, you have to think about all the in and outs of, you know, what could happen, what could be the cause and effect of all of these situations. And that's really the best way to learn or gain that experience. And then if you have someone you can kind of soundboard off of to say, hey, I've thought this through, am I totally off base? Mm-hmm. And then when you're right, it feels really good. And then if you're wrong, they can help you. And again, it's a smaller correction rather than that snowball effect if we just let it grow and grow, because that always takes a lot more time on the back end. Now, if you're unsure, you can always send like the heads up email, or, you know, send a conversation in a way that you're raising the red flag without actually asking for the help. It allows you and your manager to kind of jump in if there's actually a problem, and allows you to continue with your chosen route if it's correct, right? If you came up with that idea and it's right. But just giving everyone a heads up ahead of time can be instrumental in keeping this problem small if there is a problem. And the right person will be able to tell you if it's really a problem.
And sometimes it can be difficult to know what exactly to say. So we're going to give you an email in a second. We're going to tell you exactly what to say. And if you are a licensee, you can view the show notes for this cast. And so you can read it and you can copy it and use exactly these words. And you won't have to write them down. One email might look like this. Boss, I just wanted to let you know that I had a conversation with this customer today. They are unhappy about the delivery of the 3 servers on Wednesday and they want a discount. I am checking in with Alex in delivery to find out if they signed on delivery, and with Joe in customer support to find out if he's heard anything. I will give you an update on the results and the planned actions at the end of the day. If you want to discuss before then, I'll be at my desk between 2 and 4 and again after 4:30. So in this, we're trying to give the manager an idea of the situation and the gravity of the situation. So 3 servers is pretty expensive, I would think. And a discount on servers, that's probably a pretty big problem. And the name of the customer, because depending on who that customer is, if that customer is Google, it's probably a big deal. If it's, you know, I guess mom and pop shops don't actually buy servers, but, you know, it could be just a customer who only is ever only going to buy these 3 servers, probably less of a deal. And then you've also told him what you're doing right now. So you're checking for more information, which your boss is going to need in order to make a decision as to whether or not he's going to give this customer a discount or not. And then you've told him when you're going to give an update, when he's going to get that information and what you're intending to do with that information. So you're going to give him the update and then you're going to say, hey, this is what I think we should do. And then at that point, he can agree or disagree. And you've also said, if you want to talk before then, so if you think it's more urgent than the end of the day, if you need that information ahead of that time, then this is where you can get hold of me. Obviously, if it's your boss and he really thinks it's urgent, he can start calling you or come down to your desk and find you, or, you know, send the police around. That's what he thinks is necessary. So your boss can always find you. But at least you've given them an idea. Like, if you can't get me between 4 and 4.30, clearly something else was going on. You were in a meeting or for some reason you weren't available. But it's given him a clue how to get hold of you if he thinks it's more urgent than that. And if he wants to follow up with Alex or Joe, you've given the names of who you're going to for information. So if he wants to find out, or he might want to go to those people's bosses if he thinks it's more of a big deal, he might want to go to his peers where you've gone to your peers. He might want to go to his peers to escalate the issue. So giving names of who you've talked to is also very helpful.
And the best thing about this email is it's a plan, your action, you're involved in what's going to happen next. You're not passing the buck, right? You're not saying, hey, here's a heads up. Good luck with that. I'm working on it. And these are the steps that we can take if we need to.
Yeah.
So I really like that.
And your boss might say that you're not acting fast enough. I want more done. And that's absolutely fine. If you've misjudged it, if you haven't done enough, that's fine. You don't have enough knowledge and that's okay. And a lot of the time your boss might say, that's perfect. You did the right thing. And sometimes they might say that's overkill. And the more you do this, the better your judgment will get. That's just the way of everything, right? The more you do it, the better you get at it. The worst thing you can do is not send this email and for things to go wrong and your boss find out later. It's way worse to do that than to send this email and then your boss go, that wasn't a big deal. I don't know why you sent me that email. Like, I get too much email. Don't send me things like that again. And you go, okay, I won't. And the next time something's that size, you don't send it again. Far better that than the opposite.
Yeah, you never want to put yourself in a situation where your boss comes to you because something went wrong.
Yes.
Right. You want to get ahead of it.
We've covered some of the things that you should do before you ask for help. And next week, we'll be back with some more things and what signs there are that you waited too long. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.